As I crouched there in the toyon bushes, trying not to fall over the cliff, trying to keep myself hidden and yet to see and hear what went on below me, a boat left the ship. 6 men with long oars were rowing. Their faces were broad, and shining dark hair fell over their eyes. When they came closer, I saw that they had bone ornaments thrust through their noses. Behind them in the boat stood a tall man with a yellow beard. I had never seen a Russian before, but my father had told me about them, and I wondered, seeing the way he stood with his feet set apart and his fists on his hips, and looked at the little harbor as though it already belonged to him, if he were one of those men from the north whom our people feared. I was certain of it when the boat slid into the shore and he jumped out, shouting as he did so. His voice echoed against the rock walls of the cove. The words were strange, unlike any I had ever heard. Slowly then he spoke in our tongue. "I come in peace and wish to parley," he said to the man on the shore. None of them answered, but my father, who was one of those hidden among the rocks, came forward down the sloping beach. He thrust his spear into the sand. "I am the chief of Galasat," he said. "My name is Chief Chawik." I was surprised that he gave his real name to a stranger. Everyone in our tribe had 2 names, the real one which was secret and was seldom used, and one which was common. For if people use your secret name, it becomes worn out and loses its magic. Thus I was known as Wanapele, which means the girl with the long black hair, though my secret name is Karana. My father's secret name was Chawik. Why he gave it to a stranger, I do not know. The Russian smiled and held up his hand, calling himself Captain Orlov. My father also held up his hand. I could not see his face, but I doubted that he smiled in return. "I have come with 40 of my men," said the Russian. "We come to hunt sea otter. We wish to camp on your island while we are hunting." My father said nothing. He was a tall man, though not so tall as Captain Orlov, and he stood with his bare shoulders thrown back, thinking about what the Russian had said. He was in no hurry to reply, because the Aleuts had come before to hunt otter. That was long in the past, but my father still remembered them. "You remember another hunt," Captain Orlov said when my father was silent. "I have heard of it too. It was led by Captain Mitrif, who is a fool and is now dead. The trouble arose because you and your tribe did all of the hunting." "We hunted," said my father. "But the one you call a fool wished us to hunt from one moon to the next, never ceasing." "This time you will need to do nothing," Captain Orlov said. "My men will hunt, and we will divide the catch. 1 part for you, to be paid in goods, and 2 parts for us." "The parts must be equal," my father said. Captain Orlov gazed off toward the sea. "We can talk of that later when my supplies are safe ashore," he replied. The morning was fair with little wind, yet it was the season of the year when storms could be looked for, so I understood why the Russian wished to move on to our island. "It is better to agree now," said my father. Captain Orlov took 2 long steps away from my father, then turned and faced him. 1 part to you is fair, since the work is ours, and ours the risk." My father shook his head. The Russian grasped his beard. "Since the sea is not yours, why do I have to give you any part?" "The sea which surrounds the island of the Blue Dolphins belongs to us," answered my father. He spoke softly as he did when he was angry. "From here to the coast of Santa Barbara, 20 leagues away?" "No, only that which touches the island and where the otter live." Captain Orlov made a sound in his throat. He looked at our men standing on the beach and toward those who had now come from behind the rocks. He looked at my father and shrugged his shoulders.